verses 24 through 26. And verse 26 talks about the Lord leading us. So that's why I chose this hymn. And I like this hymn because it talks about different stages and situations of life that we may go through. And different ones of us may be going through different stages and situations of life right now. But yet, we can have hope because He leadeth me. We don't lead ourselves. Nobody else leads us. If we're in Him, He leadeth me. So let's turn, if you would, to your Bibles, to Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm actually going to go back to verse 13 for our reading, because that's where this section starts. So Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. And now the verses we're going to cover. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how encouraging it is. We thank you that we can come here tonight, that we can read your word, that we can walk through it, and that we can lift up our praises as we have in this song that we sang, and as we will later in prayer, our thanksgivings and even our requests. Thank you that you have said that where two or three are gathered, there you are in their midst. So we just pray that you would be with us tonight. Pray that you'd be with me as I lead us through this passage, that I would declare only the truth of your word. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've entitled this lesson tonight, Be Confident in the Lord. Be confident in the Lord. By way of introduction, this section starts in verse 13, and the theme is about these two words, wisdom and understanding. We see this in verse 13, which says, How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And then it's repeated in 21. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. But there's a slight change. Where that first section is talking about acquiring or finding wisdom and understanding. This second section is talking about maintaining or keeping wisdom and understanding. We have a phrase in English, out of sight, out of mind. And it's an idiom because it's part of human nature. We tend to forget what is not constantly before us. It's no different with wisdom and understanding. Unless we consistently remind ourselves of them, we will forget them. So we have an exhortation here. It both reminds us to keep wisdom and understanding internally and externally. Verse 22 says, They will be life to your soul and an adornment to your neck. So it talks about us putting wisdom and understanding in our soul and also wearing it around our neck. The Bible often says that what is around the neck of people describes what's inside them. We see this in Micah and also in Psalms, especially when it's talking about the evil people. But we want to be people that are characterized by wisdom and understanding. So when people see what's close to us, what's near and dear to us, that's what they see. We must keep wisdom and understanding both in us and on us if it is to impact our lives. And the results of keeping wisdom and understanding are quite dramatic. First, we can walk with confidence that we will not stumble. Second, we can live a life of peace. Third, we don't have a fear of the future. And fourth, we have the Lord's protection. That first point was talked about last week in verse 23, walking securely. So we won't talk about that tonight. Tonight we'll look at those three verses under three headings: the encouragement, the warning, and the blessing. So looking at verse 24, we're encouraged because we realize that there are real benefits for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who put wisdom and understanding before them. Verse 18 of this chapter reminds us that wisdom is a tree of life. And that image reminds us both of Adam and Eve in the garden and of Revelation 22, where we see the tree of life again. And it also reminds us of the cross, which is a tree of life, because Christ gave his life for us. And so those images remind us that in order for us to have life, we have to rely on somebody else. So the encouragement here is you can rest or sleep easy. And that's, again, another phrase that we have in English. We might tell somebody to sleep easy. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about somebody who's unencumbered by the cares of this world. It's as if they don't have to worry about anything. And that's the way that the person who's relying on life from Christ is characterized in this passage. Relying on wisdom and knowledge or understanding, where do those things come from? Well, we're told in verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up. Both the creative force and the sustaining force come from God. And so, because in Christ we possess a settled mind, a firm direction, and a revealed will, we can sleep easy. We'll see the contrast in the next verse, what we're not to do. People who can't sleep easy, what their life is like. Instead of having to rely on a creation of our own for our security, we can rely on the Lord. In Psalm 4:8, the psalmist says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. It's only because we're relying on the Lord that we can have this easy sleep. So what does this mean? What does it mean to lie down and not be afraid? Well, I think that there's a lot of symbolism in that image. If you think of somebody lying down and relaxing, it means they're feeling secure. They don't have to be out working, for instance, at that point. They're not in a posture of protection. They feel secure. And with the promise of eternal security in hand, the believer indeed can rest in peace. The future of the believer is not one of danger, but one of blessing. The eternal future of the believer is one of eternal reward. Hebrews 4:3 tells us that those who are in Christ have entered his rest. God expects us to rest from our attempts to save ourselves, to rest on the saving work of Christ. Does this mean that the believer will not have to endure hardship? I don't think this is what the verse is talking about. The verse is looking beyond the hardships of our physical reality to the blessed truth of our spiritual heritage and inheritance. We know that due to fallen nature, the decay of our bodies, and the opposition and hostility of mankind and the spiritual forces of evil, we will endure, most likely, sorrow, hardships, and trials in this life. But this doesn't negate the encouragement of these verses. Just because we have trouble doesn't mean that we can't lie down, rest in the Lord. Just because we sleep fitfully doesn't mean we lack sweetness of sleep. These physical reactions to things that are going on around us cannot rob us of the peace that we experience in knowing Christ. The deterioration of our physical tent is countered by the building up of our spiritual nature by the Holy Spirit. Don't be discouraged if you're suffering from physical ailments that are keeping you up at night. We know who has overcome sin and death. In him we are more than conquerors, and death will not triumph over us, will not separate us from the love of God. Maybe you're suffering from mental anguish. You're not the first person. The psalmist says in Psalm 56, verse 3, "When I am afraid, I will come to thee." Remember Jesus himself, who probably suffered the most anguish that anybody could suffer. In Luke 22:44, it says, "Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." But he didn't have the same kind of fear that somebody who doesn't know the will of God would have. He had perfect trust in the will of God. That's why he subjected himself to it. And so it is the same for us. As that hymn said, no matter what situation we're going in life, he leadeth me. And that's what we're trusting in. On the other hand, Jesus slept while his disciples were afraid that they were dying in the boat. In both cases, Jesus knew what the outcome was going to be. And in both cases, he trusted the will of God. And so the encouragement to us is, if we're going through times like this, don't let them keep us from Christ, but realize that these things actually draw us closer to him and help us keep wisdom and understanding in front of us. And that's the way we understand or experience what this verse is talking about, lying down and not being afraid, lying down and having sweet sleep. And I think more than that, it's talking about a spiritual condition. And we'll see that in verse 26. I think that's what ties all this in together. The spiritual component of this is the important part. Then we have the warning in verse 25. "Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes." We aren't to be afraid like those who are trying to stop some calamity that they haven't even thought of yet from happening. That's the idea here. People are always thinking that something bad's going to happen, so they try to do things to stop it from happening. And isn't that so much a part of our society today? So much of what people are doing is trying to protect themselves a lot of times from a danger that doesn't even exist. But it's what this verse is talking about here. When you're not hoping in the Lord, when you're hoping in yourself, you have to take every step that you can take to protect yourself. But it's futile, because you don't have the power to do anything. The wicked are constantly worried about ruin through some unexpected or unforeseen event, and they are unable to be at peace, even though they might want to convince us that they can be. That's what they're always talking about. Let's achieve world peace. Let's all get along. Let's have a meeting where everybody agrees. And yet, it never happens. There's constant conflict. There's constantly people fighting with each other, because it's an impossible thing that can never be achieved without the Lord. In Micah 2:1, it says, "Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil in their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it, because it is in the power of their hands. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them away. They oppress a man in his house, a man in his inheritance." Even when they're asleep, and I think that's what this verse is referring to, they are scheming and thinking about what they're doing. And they're so caught up in it that the first thing they do when they get up is to go out and carry out this evil plan. By contrast, Ecclesiastes 5:12 tells us, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the fullness of the rich will not suffer him to sleep." Fullness here is more a commentary on the nature of the rich man, that he's covetous, that he never has enough. Jesus tells us about the farmer who wanted to enlarge his barns. It wasn't that he didn't have plenty already, he wanted more. And if we look at people who don't have faith in Christ, the only thing they have is to get more, to protect themselves against not having. But wisdom tells us we are safe with God, not because of what we own, but because of our attitude before God. You might remember when Dean preached from 1 Peter 3:13. "Now who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy." And we can see the contrast there with these verses. Verse 25, "Don't be afraid." In verse 14, "Have no fear." And also verse 22, talking about the adornment and putting something in your hearts. Verse 15 says, "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord is holy." So I see a parallel there between those two passages. And then we learn that those who are being taught by the Lord have no fear because they're being taught by the Lord. You look at Isaiah 8:12 through 13, we're told, "Don't call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread." Why? In Isaiah 54, verse 13, "Because all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Sorry, I jumped a bit there. That was Isaiah 8:12 and then Isaiah 54:13. So the warning there is not to be like the wicked, who are always afraid, who are always looking for a way to protect themselves that originates from them. Because that will keep us from keeping wisdom and understanding in front of us. We'll be looking at something else that isn't that, because we're looking at the wisdom of men, not the wisdom of God. And then, don't be afraid of the onslaught of the wicked. Well, why shouldn't we be afraid of that? That's pretty scary, to think of evil coming against us. Well, here's where we come to the promise. Verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught. We can be confident that the Lord will keep us. As we keep our eyes on wisdom and understanding, he is the one who is both of those, and we know that our foot will not be caught. Remember Peter looking out at the boat towards Jesus? When he looked at Jesus, he was confident. Lord, tell me to come out. And he started walking out there. But when he started looking at the waves, that's when he lost his confidence. Our ultimate protector is the Lord. When sudden calamities like the flood or the destruction of Sodom come, our only hope is in him. The Lord was the only one who could rescue Noah or lead Lot out of Sodom. But this phrase, keep your foot, most typically refers to keeping us from spiritual disaster. And that's why I think that this passage is talking more about the spiritual than the physical. Psalm 72, famous passage, verse 2, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. For I was arrogant, envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace, and violence covers them as a garment. They're not wearing the necklace of wisdom and understanding. They're wearing the necklace of pride, and it leads to violence covering them as a garment. So the foolishness of replacing the necklace that God has given us of wisdom and understanding with a necklace that man wants to give us of pride is what the psalmist nearly fell into here. But then he realizes it, praise God. And even in Psalm 94, verses 18 and 19, when I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. I like how in that verse and in our passage, it talks about a foot. You know, sometimes we're testing the ground to see if it's still solid. And we stretch our foot out there. But even then, our foot is not going to slip. God is going to rein us in. He's going to keep us from destruction if we have wisdom and understanding. Our confession, when I thought my foot slips, realizing that we're in danger, is what leads to our protection and finally our consolation. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. No matter the number of our thoughts, be they objections as to why we should not be forgiven, feelings of unworthiness or worthlessness, fear that we may love the world more than we love God, Fear that we will not overcome trials in this life. Whatever your fear is, it is in these moments of doubt that the comfort, mercy, and loving kindness of God is ready to overwhelm you, to cause you to put aside your doubts and rejoice anew in the marvelous promise of God, to replace our doubt with wisdom and understanding. And I leave you with Psalm 121, 3 through 8. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Does anybody have any questions?